This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
WPHD, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now, this is the Drive at 5. 30 minutes of nonstop talk with Rich Zeoli.
Biden denies Chinese payments that Hunter Biden actually confirmed. No kidding. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210. If you did miss my thoughts on the looming Trump indictment, I spent 2 hours on it, so please go back and listen to and download the podcast and put us over a million, would you please? 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Thank you for being here today. Appreciate it very, very much. So first of all, this is President Joe Biden regarding the China payments that we know are true. Cut 15.
Any reason to house GOP's memo about your family dealings, sir? Any reason to house GOP's new memo about your family dealings, sir?
Family dealings.
Yes, you're revealing that Hunter Biden's business associate sent over $1 million to three of your family members. Any reaction to that report?
Do you have any reaction to the Russian chat that took down the U.S.?
Not true, he says. And not true, he says. All right. Well, that's not true that it's not true. Joe Biden denies Chinese money payments that Hunter Biden actually confirmed. Here's what happened. President Joe Biden denied that members of his family received more than $1 million from a Hunter Biden business associate, even though the president's son appeared to confirm it. Representative Jim Comer of Kentucky revealed that the new financial details last week. I shared them with you on Friday after he obtained them through a subpoena of Hunter Biden associate Rob Walker's bank records. The House Oversight and Accountability Committee chairman revealed that from 2015 through 2017, Biden family members and their companies received over $1.3 million in payments from accounts tied to Walker. Comer said more than $1 million was sent in incremental payments to Hunter Biden, his uncle, and Joe's brother, James Biden, and also Haley Biden, the widow of the president's deceased son, Beau Biden, with whom Hunter was having a romantic relationship in 2017 following his brother's death, shortly after Walker received a $3 million wire from a Chinese company. Now, when a reporter asked Joe Biden, that was the audio we just played you, if he had any reaction to House Republicans' new memo about your family's dealings during brief questioning on the South Lawn on Friday, he replied, quote, "My family's dealings?" The reporter added a few more details, saying yes, revealing that Hunter Biden's business associate sent over $1 million to three of your family members. "That's not true," the president replied. But Hunter Biden's legal team had seemingly confirmed and defended the payments in a Thursday statement. Ready? This is what they put out on Thursday. Quote, "Hunter Biden, a private citizen with every right to pursue his own business endeavors, joined several business partners in seeking a joint venture with a privately owned, legitimate energy company in China." Odd, right? Interesting that he would put that out. But he's not done yet. Actually, he's really not done that. As part of the joint venture, Hunter received his portion of good faith seed funds, which he shared with his uncle James Biden and Haley Biden, with whom he was involved with at the time, and sharing expenses. In other words, Hunter's legal team contended on Thursday that the accounts belonged to Hunter, his uncle, and Haley, nobody else. The statement did not dispute the amounts that Comer had detailed. Remember that. So, Chairman Comer released a memo stating that 2 months after Joe Biden left the vice presidency, the Chinese energy company State Energy HK wired $3 million to Robinson Walker. Robinson Walker is an account belonging to Walker. The Republican added that Biden family members and their companies began receiving incremental payments over a period of approximately 3 months after Robinson Walker received the Chinese wire, and that recipients of the money included Haley Biden. Companies associated with Hunter Biden and James Biden, and an unknown bank account identified only as Biden. Comer said Haley Biden received $10,000 from Robinson Walker on February 13, 2017, before the Chinese wire payment, and $25,000 on March 20, 2017. White House investigation spokesman Ian Sams accused Comer of, quote, going after Beau's widow on Thursday, but did not dispute the existence of the payments as the president had in that clip we just played you. Comer said the Oversight Committee is concerned about the national security implications resulting from President Biden's family receiving millions of dollars from foreign nationals. We will continue to follow the money trail and facts to determine if President Biden is compromised by his family's business schemes and if there is a national security threat. Joe Biden claimed, of course, during a 2020 debate with then President Donald Trump that Hunter Biden had not made any money from Chinese business deals, saying, "My son has not made money in terms of this thing about, what are you talking about? China?" The White House stands by that claim. This is Jim Jordan, Congressman Jim Jordan, talking about what the American people are entitled, what you have the right to know about, cut 17.
Yeah, I think this volume of suspicious activity reports is probably somewhat unprecedented. I'm sure they happen. I'm sure there's legitimate reasons why people can explain, oh, here's why this happened, and okay, no problem. We initially thought it was suspicious. Now maybe it's not. But when you have this number all about this family, and again, I think this account, the one that Mr. Comer's talked about, Chairman Comer's talked about a lot, where this $3 million shows up, I think he said before that there was very little money in this account. And then all of a sudden, here comes $3 million, and then as you point out, then it's paid out to people all with the same last name, and one of them being the unknown Biden. So that's a concern. And again, I think the American people are entitled to know what was going on here.
I do, too. Even Erin Burnett of CNN also thinks this doesn't look good. She's doing this interview here with NYU law professor Ryan. Take a listen. 16.
Okay, let's just go through what Mono just reported, because on a certain level, if just as a layperson, you hear this and it doesn't sound good. There's a guy whose name is John Robinson Walker. He gets $3 million from a Chinese-based company and proceeds to wire it out to a bunch of people named Biden, one of whom is Hunter Biden. Another one is a company that belongs to the president's brother, James Biden, and another amount of money to Beau Biden's widow, Hallie. So again, from a layperson, that doesn't look good. Is it damaging legally?
Is that the whole?
Oh
clip?
Yeah, that's all.
Okay,
yeah.
So we just have to wait for his answer. We have to just hope that he.
I can get the answer if you want. It just wasn't interesting.
Oh, it wasn't interesting.
No.
All right.
Well, he didn't give a definitive answer one way or the other.
All right, but her point, though, the question then is the thing there. It doesn't look good, and she's right. It doesn't look good. Obviously, it doesn't look good here. But remember something. In all of this with Joe Biden and China, there is an ongoing investigation into Hunter Biden that's happening right now. It has been going on for years in Delaware with the United States attorney in Delaware who's been investigating Hunter. So we can pretend, I mean, we can pretend all we want that, oh, you know what, the money here that was no big deal and it was nothing and, you know, it was just Hunter and he was just a lawful businessman. Think about it. Joe Biden can deny it all he wants, but Hunter Biden's not denying it, which is basically confirming it. So we know that the Bidens were getting paid by China. We know that. The only question then is, did Joe Biden get money in all this? Did he get money in all this? And then we start piecing together various little things, including, obviously, meetings, dinners, rides on Air Force Two, rides and I'm sorry, meetings inside the White House when Joe Biden was vice president, and all of these things. We know all those things were happening. And now the question then becomes, did Joe Biden take any money from all of this, from Hunter and all the business? If that is the question, then you have to ask yourself, too, isn't it something to think that Hunter Biden one time gave Burisma, for example, that very detailed memo on what it would mean if Russia, the RU, and they used the term the RU, Russian Union, invaded Crimea, and then the effects of that, and global energy, and blah, 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 and blah, 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 blah. Very, very much to Miranda Devine's point that it looked like really somebody wrote this for him, and that somebody may have had national security clearance. Is that why suddenly everybody was talking about national security documents all of a sudden? Because they were looking for those things as they are getting ready to possibly now indict Hunter Biden. And then what is the political ramifications for this? What are the political ramifications for this for Joe Biden's reelection campaign? You know, you can talk all you want about Trump getting indicted tomorrow in New York about hush money payments to Stormy Daniels that were not entered in the correct ledger and he may have tried to deduct them or whatever. But what happens if Hunter Biden is indicted on federal charges of all kinds of sleaziness involving China and Ukraine and everything? Where does that leave Joe Biden? Nobody's talking about that. I've been asking that question for months. Where does that leave Joe Biden? And I think that if you think about how politically weak Joe Biden is right now at this moment, you think about his age, you think about the fact that Democrats don't want him to run for re-election, an indictment of Hunter is just the nail in the coffin right there. And one thing that people don't realize about Alvin Bragg's move here, if Alvin Bragg indicts Donald Trump tomorrow in New York, all bets are off on Hunter. I mean, all bets are off. Because one could argue that maybe you don't indict Hunter. I wouldn't make this argument, but you could argue maybe you don't indict Hunter because obviously this is very politically tenuous. And I mean, I shared with you a story last week of how the United States Department of Justice is playing games here. Playing games by not turning over the documents they need to turn over to the investigations that's going on in the House. And there were several instances where they went to a judge and they wanted names redacted because of the political consequences of having those names come out. But hey, if we're going to be in the United States of America now where we indict our political enemies, we indict our political opponents, we do these things. I mean, it's all bets off for the Bidens at that point. And then what does an indictment of Hunter Biden bring? And does he cop a deal to sell his old man down the river for avoiding prison time? I don't know. But what I do know, though, is that this question 5 minutes ago of do we really use the courts to go after our political enemies and persecute them and prosecute them and do these things? Alvin Bragg does this tomorrow. All bets are off. Forever. I mean, forever. I'll give you another point, too, that I think a lot of people are missing here, and that is this. Back in 2016, when Hillary Clinton should have been probably indicted for all of her sleazy corruption, Joe Scarborough on MSNBC, I remember he was famous for this, going on every day about, we don't prosecute our political enemies, Mika. We settle this in the ballot box. The question I asked at the time was, what do you do if you have a politician who is corrupt? I mean, we do prosecute political enemies in this country all the time. We've never done it to a former president. We've never done it to a presidential candidate that I know of, at least from a major party. But we arrest mayors. We indict senators and congresspeople. I mean, New Jersey has a long history of indicting these people. Former United States Attorney Chris Christie made his political bones going after politicians who were corrupt. So we prosecute our political enemies all the time. But we've never really done it on the federal level in this way before. And so everybody who's going on about how, you know, this will forever change the calculus and it's so important that DeSantis send in the National Guard and shut this down because Trump, he can't go through this. Once Trump walks in and is formally indicted, all bets are off in this country as far as prosecuting our political enemies. There's no more gentleman's agreement that we don't do this crap to each other. I mean, in some ways, it's going to get very, very ugly, but it's also going to be a lot of fun to watch. But then at that point, we will have said, no. You guys started this whole thing when you indicted Trump. So, yeah, we're not worried about it. And then maybe that's what should happen. You know, maybe people should not get a pass. If we're going to keep hearing these lectures about how no one's above the law, Clintons seem to be above the law for a long time. Seem to be getting away with a lot of things. Hillary Clinton's server, her emails, that whole thing. And you remember when the FBI director at the time, James Comey, came out and said no reasonable prosecutor would prosecute this case, a decision that the FBI director shouldn't be making because he's not a prosecutor. He's just the director of the FBI. You remember that, right? You remember how many people were upset by that? But do you remember how many people on the left back then came out and said, we don't prosecute our political enemies, Mika. But Trump gets indicted tomorrow and all bets are off. That maybe Hillary should have been prosecuted for those classified emails she had back then on her server, right? Maybe she should have. Whether or not the intent was there or not is not really the point. And then certainly leave that to a jury to make the determination of if she had the mens rea to actually break the law, the mens rea. But, No, tomorrow's a game changer in a lot of ways. Trump gets indicted tomorrow in the state of New York. It's a game changer, politically speaking, from everything that happens in this country after that. But then it also means Hunter Biden's fair game. And if prosecutors were thinking that maybe they would hold off because Joe Biden's the president and Joe Biden's a candidate and everything, I don't see how you can. And I'm sure there's going to be somebody in that office who probably leaks out the fact that they've got everything they need to indict Hunter Biden. And that they've just been waiting because of politics. So if I were Democrats, I'd be very nervous if Bragg does this. I really would. Not only because it helps Trump politically, as I mentioned to you in the first couple of hours of the show, but also because of what it means for them. I mean, a lot of politicians are sleazy, corrupt people. They are. And a lot of them do things all the time in exchange for things, whether it's campaign contributions or it's this or that. But I mean, you know, we've had members of Congress arrested. We've had senators arrested. We've done this all the time. We've just kind of left the presidential candidates out of it. We've just kind of let them out of it. And even when we had evidence of actual potential crimes, like, for example, with the case of Richard Nixon, there was an argument you could have made to indict him, but Gerald Ford pardoned him. So presidential power, pardon power is absolute. You don't need a crime to have been convicted. You don't have to have charges. Presidential pardons are absolute for any and all crimes he may or may not have committed. It's kind of set the standard for that. We just leave presidents alone. We just don't go down that road. That was Gerald Ford's big thing when he became president. You know, we got our long national nightmares over. We got to heal our country. And the only way we can do that is if we just say, no, not doing this. Tomorrow changes that. It really does. I mean, what Alvin Bragg's move tomorrow is the opposite of what Gerald Ford did with Richard Nixon. And a lot of people were upset that Gerald Ford did that, but, you know, he always said it was the right thing to do, given how divided the country was, given how everybody was so broken from after the Vietnam War and just everything that was going on in this country. We had to do something here, you know, to try to heal and everything. Well, tomorrow, the district attorney of New York may potentially then take that standard that was established by President Gerald Ford in the wake of Watergate and tear it to shreds. Well, the ramifications of which are things we can't predict. But if you can indict a former president for something that happened 7 years ago, then I guess the question is, can you indict a former president for, I don't know, murder? Killing American citizens? That'd be fun. That would be fun. If somebody were to argue that former President Barack Obama did not have the legal authority to kill American citizens on foreign soil, and that the White House, when they came up with that memorandum justifying his intent and justifying how he had the power to do it and blah, blah, blah. Nope, still murder. We're going to charge him with murder. I don't know. This could get ugly very fast. And there's a reason why we really don't go down this road. But that decorum as we say, is about to be over. And I think the people are going to pay the price for that the most. In this current political context we're speaking, it's not Trump. It's going to be the Bidens. We all know what's there. Everybody knows what's in front of us. Everybody knows what is there, and they know it too. And if there is any pressure that's happening, it's about to get a whole lot worse. White House GOP rep has bad news for the White House following evidence of Hunter Biden's China correspondence. It's just the beginning. Representative James Comer went on Sunday Morning Futures with Maria Bartiromo. I watched it yesterday. And he said now they've got bank records. They've got family business dealing records. They've got all of this. And he said, quote, "Well, we know that when the president was vice president in the Obama administration, he made several trips to China. He brought his son and some of these associates with him. They met in different places with some of these people that the president claimed he'd never met with." So we know the president hasn't been truthful about his involvement when he was vice president. But from talking to former associates that were involved with Hunter Biden, what we know is that the Biden family had agreed to help China, and that was to get their foot in the door. So, more is coming out. She says there was something on the laptop that was also informative where Hunter Biden is talking to a colleague, somebody who is representing the China partnership, right? Comer says yes. There was a message that Hunter was very frustrated with one of these business partners in China that he had done banking with and had done everything they had ever asked of him. And of course, this would have been when Joe Biden was vice president, and he reminded them that they had never done anything in return for him. And then a few weeks later, this $3 million wire appears in the Robinson Walker account. And the very next day, they distributed the money to Hunter Biden and then at least two other family members and possibly three other family members. So there's evidence in the laptop that shows that Hunter Biden was communicating with them and had interactions and done things for them while his father was vice president. He says the White House has not been truthful from this from day one. I don't think the White House ever dreamed we would get the bank records. I've got bad news for them. This is just the beginning. We're going to get a lot more bank records, and they're going to have to continue to backpedal and come up with some type of reason why the Biden families received millions and millions and millions of dollars from our adversaries, like China, for example. All right, let's do the movie. Let's do it.
Now, afternoon.
Mystery movie clip, WPHT.
You describe a white silk scarf in your book.
I've always had a fondness for white silk scarves. They're good for all occasions.
But you said you like men to use their hands, didn't you?
No, I said I like Johnny to use his hands. I don't make any rules, Nick. I go with the flow.
Did you kill Mr. Boz, Miss Trammell?
I'd have to be pretty stupid to write a book about killing and then kill somebody the way I described it in my book. I'd be announcing myself as the killer. I'm not stupid.
We know you're not stupid, Miss Trammell.
Maybe that's what you're counting on to get you off the hook.
Writing the book gives you an alibi.
Yes, it does, doesn't it? The answer's no. I didn't kill him.
Think you know what it is? Be call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
All right, executive producer Matt DeSantis, tell them what we got. Hopefully we have something.
Yeah, we do. It was kind of last second, but we got it. You will win a $50 gift card to Boston Market.
All right, $50.
Pretty good. Who doesn't love Boston Market?
Yeah, that's delicious. I love Boston Market. Their food is great, especially their mashed potatoes, chicken, the cornbread. Oh, I love it.
Their mac and cheese is excellent.
Mac and cheese is fantastic as well. All right, good luck, caller number 12. 855-839-1210 is the number if you want to weigh in today. We have a lot of stuff to get to as well. Oh, and Biden issued his first veto today of yes. That woke ESG bill that the Republicans tried to overturn, Biden's very, very first, veto of that. I'll get into that with you as well. But here's something, too, I want to share with you as well. The House Committee on the Weaponization of the Government, which is one of the most important things they're doing, is now demanding answers on the FBI's targeting of Catholics. House Committee on the Weaponization of Government demands answers on FBI targeting Catholics, including, obviously, people like Pastor Mark Houck, who I mentioned, too. The House Committee on the Weaponization of Government investigating the FBI's recent targeting of Catholics as was evidenced by a leaked bulletin from the Richmond office. You remember this. We talked about this. The memo which stated the Catholics who prefer Latin Mass are radical traditionalist Catholics who have an adherence to anti-Semitic, anti-immigrant, anti-LGBTQ, and white supremacist ideology, and also an affinity for Latin. So now they wanted the FBI to come after them. And this memo went out there. We talked about it. Well, in a letter to FBI Director Christopher Wray, the Committee on the Judiciary demanded the FBI account for its handling of domestic violent extremism investigations. This is their second attempt to gain answers from Christopher Wray, who failed to acknowledge or respond substantively to the request in their previous letter. Wray, they say, and the FBI engage in misuse of law enforcement resources in issuing a bulletin attacking Catholics and painting them as domestic extremists simply for practicing their religion. The FBI's reasoning per the bulletin was that Catholics who practice Latin Mass, which was changed after the Second Vatican Council, are racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists. And they said this with high confidence that the FBI can mitigate the threat of radical traditionalist Catholics by recruiting sources within the Catholic Church. While the FBI later said they withdrew the stupid bulletin, the damage was likely done. The retracted bulletin saying it did not meet the existing standards of the FBI. Although the FBI withdrew this anti-Catholic document following severe backlash, many questions remain about the genesis, the review, and the approval of this document, as well as the FBI's commitment to upholding First Amendment-protected activity. Assistant Attorney General Carlos Llorate spoke before the subcommittee on responsiveness and accountability to oversight on March 9th and said the document the FBI put out did not meet our standard at all. It was offensive to me personally, he said. And as the Attorney General said last week, it was offensive to him. Well, the weaponization on government is not going to let it go. They're going to make sure they get the answers that are needed to figure out this anti-Catholic bias, which follows so many things. So many things we've heard every day, more and more in this country, about the politicization of our federal government going after its own citizens. So I say bravo, bravo, that they're going to try to get to the bottom of this. Because one thing I do know about Catholics is that this administration hates them because most of them are pro-life. Not all of them, obviously, but most of them are. That's why they've continuously targeted people outside of abortion clinics under this FACE Act. And most of the people they're targeting are people who are just standing there praying with people. It's why they've targeted pregnancy crisis centers. It's why they've targeted adoption centers. It's why they've targeted these things. They hate their politics. They hate their ideology. And obviously, if you're somebody who subscribes to the original Vatican I, not Vatican II, and likes Latin Mass and you're pretty traditional, you're probably going to be pretty in line with those traditional values of the church. It may not be as one of these, you know, cafeteria Catholics who kind of picks and chooses what they believe in and what they like and when they're going to follow it and when they're not. Traditional Catholics, the Vatican I kind that we're talking about here in this letter, they're the real deal. And so for that, they're a threat to the administration. So for that reason, that's why the FBI decided to go after them. 855-839-1210 is the number on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Listen, if you want to make lifetime memories with your family, well, then here's what you do. This is the time now to book a getaway at my happy place, the beautiful oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Spring break's coming. What are you going to do with the kids? Are they going to be home all day just hanging out, making you crazy? Well, then take them somewhere fun and do something fun with them. Take them to the Grand Hotel. They have a beautiful indoor heated pool. They have an arcade room. They got a wonderful restaurant there, Hemingway's Restaurant, with breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And they have the kids' spring break package available Sunday, April 2nd through Sunday, April 16th. Every night, breakfast is included the next day. And depending on how long you stay is how much you save on the rates. So check it out. Just go to Grand Hotel Cape May. GrandHotelCapeMay.com, or give them a call at 800-257-8550. 800-257-8550. You can get resort credits as well for midweek stays this coming June and July. I love the Grand Hotel. I love the fact that it's in Cape May, one of my most favorite towns ever, with great shops and restaurants. The Grand Hotel is right on the ocean. Beautiful place. great people there, and you'll love the accommodations. Beautiful suites and townhouses. In fact, maybe get another family and get a townhouse for the spring break weekend and make a real go of it. You just have a lot of fun and give the kids something to do. Again, heated indoor pool. That's the key. GrandHotelCapeMay.com. Book direct with them for the best rates. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
The Zioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
All right, it is Monday, busy day. Going to be a busy week, obviously, with the looming indictment of former President Trump. We'll see where all that goes. But for the moment, I have the movie winner of the day today. Joanne, how are you?
I'm good, Rich. How are you?
I'm doing well. What's new? How's Philly these days?
It's still there.
Which part of the city are you in?
I live in the far northeast.
I do love it there very much.
Yeah, it's all the way up, almost near Ben Salem.
All right, good. Well, what's the movie today, Joanne?
Basic Instinct.
Yes, indeed. Well done. Enjoy your $50 gift card at Boston Market. That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, it is great.
Get stop home on the way and get some dinner.
I think I'll do it later on in the week.
Yeah, get the card first. Good idea. Make sure you do that.
That would help. Right, right.
All right, my dear.
That's great.
What's that?
I said, that's great. I'm a listener every day.
Well, thank you so much, Joanne. I really appreciate that. Get home safe.
All right. Thanks so much. Take it easy.
You
bye-bye.
Too. Bye-bye. 855-839-1210. Bethany Mandel, I want to go to her right now. She's got a great new book out called Stolen Youth. Bethany, how are you today, my friend? Long time no talk. How have you been?
Thank God I'm good. I apologize in advance. I have some kid background noise. I got stuck in an accident, behind an accident, so I can't complain because those people are having a worse day. But
oh no!
I apologize in advance.
No, do you want to reschedule? We can reschedule.
No, I'm super happy to chat. I just apologize in advance.
All right. Well, you do have six kids, right?
There's a lot of them. Yes, there's a lot of children.
Brand new book, Stolen Youth. Congratulations on writing it, and congratulations on going viral and talking so powerfully about it in your piece that you wrote at Newsweek. I was asked to define woke. My humiliation went viral. We'll talk about that as well. But first, let's talk about Stolen Youth and why you wrote it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, we saw a sort of a cultural phenomenon that was happening. Here, let me just, you know, pull over a little bit here. We saw a cultural phenomenon that was happening with our kids. I say we because I co-authored it with a friend, Carol Markowitz, and her and I both saw sort of something that was happening to our kids. And, you know, I say to our kids, you know, to our children, also just American children, that, you know, they were being exposed in a myriad of ways to content that was completely inappropriate, that was meant to sort of indoctrinate them into a worldview that not only do we not share, but we also find extremely detrimental to their emotional health, their maturity. And so, you know, we sort of isolated all of the ways in which we see this coming at our kids from all sides, from the medical establishment, from the media, from even from publishing companies who are producing children's literature. And we decided, like, there is not only a book here, but multiple books here. But we really wanted to focus on how all of this content is being targeted and directed toward our youngest generation.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, I've got three kids. I don't have six like you, but I have three, 8, 6, and almost 3 years old. And I see it. And I deal with it, too, as a parent. And you're always trying to figure out ways that you can entertain them and you can give them what's best. Yep. And it's not easy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, and then when you enter the school factor, I mean, we homeschool, but my co-author does not. And so she really tackled all the school chapters, and she talked about, you know, how her son in Brooklyn was pretty much forced to march in a climate march and another march against guns, and how activists were turning her child and, you know, all of his classmates into little child soldiers in their war to remake our society. And so, you know, it's hard as an average parent who, you know, we're trying to put them in front of television and hand them books that are appropriate and won't scare them and won't indoctrinate them. But then, you know, when you factor in the school question, it becomes even more challenging.
And really, truly, and we've talked about this before, you and I, over the years, kids at the youngest age are the easiest to indoctrinate. That's why the left is making such an effort to do it through schools, whether it's climate or it's transgender ideology or whatever else it is. They know that the fertile young mind is where they need to begin.
That's exactly right. And it's you just brought up sort of my mini cancellation last week. And it was because I was on The Hill Rising, which is a YouTube only show. And I had a brief sort of brain fart. You know, I've 2 months postpartum and I have a few of those where I'm not perfectly eloquent at every moment of the day. And they sort of, the left globbed onto that and said, well, they don't even know what woke means. It's like, well, it's sort of, you know it when you see it. And it's cultural Marxism that is trying to remake our society and rebuild everything in a way that is equitable, because they think that our society is built on the backs of, racism, hatred, you name it. And I mean, they're even trying to redefine what a woman is, which is something they're not able to define. Bernie Sanders, when he was advertising his latest book on Bill Maher, couldn't tell the difference between equity and equality. So I'm not the first to have a brain fart, but they globbed onto it because we're over the mark. And they realize that there are millions of American parents who are worried about their kids and about this ideology that's been targeting them, because we're national bestsellers. And so they tried to target me because they saw an opportunity.
And it made you cry. And you talk about that in your piece at Newsweek. And you know what? I mean, I understand that. We all make mistakes. Everybody does. But with conservatives, they tend to really make something of it. And they were trying to mock you and everything else. So now, Bethany Mandel, I'll ask you now, and the author of Stolen Youth, How Radicals Are Erasing Innocence and Indoctrinating a Generation. How do we define woke?
So that's the question. It's actually sort of interesting because this brain fart of mine has elicited this sort of great debate on the right of how do you define woke? And for me, it's sort of that Ed Meese quote about pornography, you know it when you see it.
Right.
It's, 10 years ago, we had women's studies majors then becoming teachers, and they were sort of educating kids in sort of radical feminism, which was bad. But now we have women's studies majors who cannot define what a woman is, and they're afraid to define what a woman is. And that is woke. When a women's studies major cannot define what a woman is, that is woke. And that is the difference between progressive politics of the past and this sort of cultural Marxism that we're now facing with this latest brand of political ideology.
I think that's an excellent definition of it. We know it when we see
you.
It.
Thank you. Thank you.
No, look. And
when my brain is functioning, I'm actually a little bit coherent, it turns out.
Homeschooling six kids will do that to a person, Bethany. So God bless you for that. Radicals are erasing innocence and indoctrinating a generation. And I think of the innocence of children, and it really does scare me to think about how many adults are going along with this sabotage of our youth. Any time you hear about, whether it's Boston's Children's Hospital or CHOP right here in Philly or these other places that are all in, and of course, the Biden administration now with Dr. Rachel Levine, all in on this, and this idea that, as the president said last week, it's sinful to not allow children to be mutilated and to give them hormones. And we have kind of lost our minds here.
Yeah.
But you're right. Yeah. It wasn't overnight. Like, we got here. It was kind of like, you boil the old saying, you boil a frog, right?
Exactly. It's a slow boil. And how they're doing it is by making adults fearful to speak up. And a lot of the cancellation that I saw last week was them trying to scare people like me, but, and me in particular, and also anyone who was reading our book. I just had a friend send me a picture that someone tweeted of a man reading my book on an airplane, that he was being mocked. I mean, they are sending a very clear message. Anyone who believes what we believe and who is worried about the future of children is a target. And this poor man who was reading for the crime of reading my book on an airplane is now being mocked on Twitter.
Bethany, what do you think needs to happen here? And this is why your book is such a wake-up call, because I talk to parents all the time about this. I do. I used to do pickup in the afternoons when I was on mornings. Now that I'm back in the afternoons, thank God, I do drop off in the morning. But I talk to moms and dads all the time. And there's so many times they'll come over and they'll whisper something to me. They'll go, Rich, you were so right about that the other day. But they're afraid to speak out. They're afraid to say something. And yes, there's a fear of being canceled. But there's also, because I don't think they know what to do. And that's why I'm really glad you wrote Stolen Youth, because you really do give some ideas on what we can do to fight back.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the number one thing, and this is sort of the mantra that I've been telling myself over the course of the last week, because I'm getting a taste of it also, is that at the end of the day, who matters most? Is it my career? And I'm talking not just about me, but about all of us. Is it my career? Is it my reputation? Or is it my children? And at the end of the day, they are the most important thing in the world, and we have to fight for them. We have to know the enemy that we're fighting, and then we have to be willing to fight for them. And people will name call us, and people will try to intimidate us. But at the end of the day, our obligation is to our children.
Well said. I know you have the kids in the car, so I'm going to let you go, but come back and visit soon. I'm proud of you for writing the book. I'm proud of you for pushing back on them, trying to cancel you over and over and over again. Bethany Mandel, get the book now, Stolen Youth, How Radicals Are Erasing Innocence and Indoctrinating a Generation. Thanks, my friend.
Thank you.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
By the way, Matt DeSantis, executive producer, guess who's got a book coming out?
I can guess the right answer.
No, you can't, because I didn't send it to you yet. Now
you
I just did
send it to me. That's the only reason I have any idea what you're referencing.
I just did now. Yes, Henry.
Can I guess it?
Yes.
I have no idea.
That's a great guess. Well done.
Thanks for wasting everyone's time.
Wouldn't even know where to start.
Yeah, can I get that 8 seconds of my life back?
Oh, I was going to guess wrong. I saw the first thing you sent me.
Mm-hmm. Don't say that, because somebody else will steal the idea.
I won't say either.
The second one you can say, because she's mine.
Okay. She's going to be with us on
Friday. I mean, not mine. She's our guest. I mean, let me rephrase that. We're getting in trouble. Tulsi Gabbard.
Who I believe is going to be on our very special Radiothon broadcast Friday.
I hope so. Her book, For Love of Country, Why I Left the Democrat Party, is scheduled to be released on October 10th, 2023. And I've got great news. Greg Stocker has authorized me to fly to Hawaii and do a book event with her out in Hawaii. So that's great.
Wait, is that real?
Nope, not even close.
That's what I haven't even asked
them. Wouldn't even pretend to ask.
Doesn't sound like something Greg Stocker would say.
No, that would be a terrible idea for everybody.
It would end with a
restraining
order. Except
for one person who gets to go to Hawaii.
Well, right, that's true. Restraining order. Yeah, thank you.
I feel like if that happens, though, I probably should come with you, just, you know, to make sure that the broadcast goes all right.
Speaking of which, you know, you have to be here on Friday now a lot earlier to help.
Wait, what?
Yeah, you didn't hear that yet?
No.
Yeah, but I got you out of coming at 6 a.m. like me.
So what time do I have to be here?
Well, I know you get up at 10:30 or 11, so whenever you get up.
Oh, all right. That's
you can come.
Bad.
You can come over and help.
I'll be here like 10:30.
Oh, that's so nice of you to wake up early for us.
Everyone's ragging on me for saying I don't want to get up at 6 a.m. Daniel was listening the other day, and he said, I'll be there at 6 a.m. So how many people do they need?
I mean, well, it's an army to do this job. It takes an army. You know what I mean?
Well, I'll be there at 10:30. That's reasonable. I can live with that.
So what I meant was Tulsi Gabbard has become a friend of this radio show, and I'm happy about that fact. But I'm also happy about the fact that the other person who I sent you her book.
Yes.
I'm also friends with her.
Oh, perfect.
So I think we can make that work. And if she, and if not, then I'll tell Jimmy Fallon, if you don't get her on the show, I'll beat you to death with a hammer.
I'm sorry.
That's how we talk to each other. I mean, it's guy talk.
Guy talk, yeah.
You better hope he's not beaten to death with a hammer. This is going to end up in a courtroom.
I mean, what kind of an idiot would I have to be to talk about beating him to death with a hammer and then actually beat him to death with a hammer? Although if he doesn't get me on a show and he gets a TV show on Fox News, I will kill him. I will kill the man. No, guy talk is good. I told you I was with my buddies this weekend in Atlantic City, and there was a lot of guy talk, obviously. And I realize, and I think about this every time I'm with my friends, and I truly mean this when I say this. These guys make me want new friends. You know what I mean? When guys bust chops, it's a sign of affection. It's how we communicate to each other. You know what I mean? When guys don't bust chops, they don't really like each other. Like if they're having a normal conversation, I mean, I spent, what, I don't know, like 35 hours with my buddies this weekend. I don't know anything about their personal lives, their families. I don't care. I know their kids' names. No, it doesn't matter. All you know is, can you bust chops? That's it. That's all you need to know. That's what being a guy is all about in this day and age. And I know that that runs counter to what we're told these days. In fact, I believe that would be referred to now as toxic masculinity. Am I right?
Sounds about accurate, yeah.
Sounds about accurate. Busting stones and busting chops and like pointing out that our one buddy cannot not dribble his food on his shirt, for example. That would be called bullying, and there was a time that it was, and maybe it is now, I guess I should say there was a time when it was acceptable. Now it's probably called bullying, but I just don't really care. And luckily, my buddies don't care either, but yeah, probably toxic masculinity, I think, would probably be the word for it. I should write a book on that. Just pushing back on toxic masculinity. You know what I mean?
That's a good idea.
This idea of this.
I'd buy it.
Yeah. Maybe the whole thing would just be you in a conversation with you and your friends, just busting chops.
Ooh, not a bad idea.
Co-author, Jimmy.
Maybe what we should do, actually, is just, we've been talking about what I can do for a podcast spinoff for the show as we're about to hit 1 million downloads of this show. Maybe I just bust chops and do it as a rejection of toxic masculinity. Kind of like comedians in cars getting coffee, just be like, buddies busting chops. I don't know. Probably a stupid idea, but there's something there.
You'd be like Jeff Ross. Just invite someone on the podcast and just tear them to shreds and be like, all right, thanks for coming on.
I could definitely do that. It's not a problem. Come on the show. I'm just gonna bust your chops for 35.
I'm gonna make you really insecure by the end.
Can the first guest be Henry?
Oh, I would love that.
I can do it.
That would be fantastic. Just rip into Henry.
I've
heard it all. You can't hurt me.
The best is that Henry, when I asked him what he did this weekend, his answer was, and I quote, "I got hammered."
Yeah.
Not I went to Baltimore. I saw friends.
Didn't even know he was going to Baltimore. He's been talking about his Friday off for like the last 2 or 3 weeks, and he's kept insisting, "Oh, I'm going to have a blast. I'm going to be drinking heavily."
Yeah.
Never even mentioned he was going to be in Baltimore. Had no idea until he mentioned it on air.
Yeah.
Well, and you guys both abandoned me on Friday, and you know I don't want to be here on Friday as it is.
Yeah.
And then you both abandoned me, but you left me with some good guests, though, which is good. So if you missed any of Friday's show, definitely download the podcast and do it now and download it so that we can hit 1 million podcast downloads tonight, which would be great.
I just downloaded the James Rosen podcast.
Why don't you download all the podcasts? You're the freaking executive producer of the show.
I'm not going to listen to all of them. I'll listen to the James Rosen one. I'm here every single day listening to you for 4 hours.
I know. You
How
do
much
suffer.
Rich Zeoli do I need?
It sounds like Cruel and Unusual Punishment to me, if you ask me.
You had Phil Magnus Friday, too. He's always good. I'll download that one.
Yeah, he did a nice job. We talked about woke college curriculum. We talked about classical liberalism. We talked about a lot of fun things. It was good. I just bored myself by talking about that.
He has a great book about the 1619 Project as well.
We did talk about the 1619 Project, how it's all based on a bunch of lies and a bunch of nonsense when ultimately their goal is Marxism. So we talked about Marxism and why it is, in fact, infecting our political system, our economic system, and our higher education system. Now, here's my question. Andrew Yang, who ran for president of the United States, is he now guilty of bullying Joe Biden for what he said to Bill Maher on Friday's HBO Real Time? Here's what Andrew Yang, one-time Democrat candidate for president, who I believe is still a Democrat, am I right?
No, he started his own party.
Oh, he started his own, that's right. Started his own party. Best of luck with that. It's going to be huge. Andrew Yang, this is what he said to Bill Maher Friday night, cut 20.
We have a lot of people at various stages of public office who are putting out bills and policies that are more for the messaging and stoking the fires on social media than actually trying to get something passed. That's what we need to undo.
I feel like Biden this week is sort of pivoting to the center. I mean, he said when he was campaigning that he would not drill ever. Never in Alaska, and now he said he's going to drill in Alaska.
All right, it's time to get a little controversial. I think there should be a...
You know, I was hoping it would come before the end of the
please,
show.
Yeah. I think that there should be a competitive primary in the Democratic Party. I think that Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan should run. I think that Gavin Newsom here in California should run. I think J.B. Pritzker in Illinois should run. Joe Biden said in 2020, I am here to be a bridge to the next generation. That is what he should be at this moment. And if he were to go down this road, he would be now this George Washington level statesman. He gets rid of Trump. He gets some great things done. And then he says it's time to give it to the next generation. And then we would all be loving on Joe. Joe, please head this direction. If he does not then we are punting on this entire succession challenge, and it could emerge at a very inopportune time. But in my opinion, there are very, very real risks going down the road that it seems like
you're
we're
not,
going
But
now.
You're not even rooting for that.
Yeah, well, he's not wrong. And this is, I think he speaks for a lot of Democrats who want Joe Biden to step aside. Joe Biden just issued his very first veto. What is it? What does it mean? And yeah, Bethany's right. We do need a good definition of woke. So I'll tell you what Dr. Wilfred Riley said in the 6 o'clock hour about how we define woke. And also, too, we need to be very, very skeptical of the latest lies coming out of the COVID origin story, this time that it was a raccoon dog. I guess somebody ate or something like that. I'll share that with you as well. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Listen, my friends at Cherry Hill Volvo, definitely where you want to go. They have a great selection of beautiful Volvos in stock. And they're offering you an extra 2023 off, $2,023 discount on top of all the other incentives that they offer of their in-stock 2023 Volvos. So head to Cherry Hill Volvo today for the luxurious experience you deserve and spring into a new Volvo. Cherry Hill Volvo is the most accessible Volvo dealer to Philly and South Jersey, right across the bridge. Judith, Yosef, and the entire team look forward to meeting you. Cherry Hill Volvo is where relationships matter, and that's why I want you to take a look at them today. We broadcast live from the Cherry Hill Volvo studios, so remember that. We've talked a lot about cancel culture. Well, in the age of cancel culture, there is no doubt in my mind that Judith Krupnik has said, I'm stepping up because I want the studio naming rights, and she's great to do so. Yosef is a great guy, the general sales manager, and just like how I sent my friend Debbie over there, she and her husband Frank, they bought a Volvo, they love it. And she said, there's so much room here, and he's a big guy. So, and that's the XC40 or the XC60 like I drive. The XC90, I sent my friends over there with a third row. So much room for the kids. Or like my buddy Dave, who bought the S-Class, made right here in their plant in South Carolina. Either way, you've got a great, great, beautiful car, latest technology, and safe. And the extra $2,023 discount on top of all the other incentives of their in-stock 2023 Volvos. So head to Cherry Hill Volvo today. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.